we are moving forward. And we spent our time in Lent moving towards the cross, and now we continue a journey, shall we say, out from the cross, forward from what we learned in Lent. I'm wondering, we talked about it before worship, how long ago was Easter? How long ago was Easter? 2 weeks ago. You know that I took a week of vacation and I had a lot of fun, relaxed. I think it's the first time in 20 years of ministry that I didn't come in the office at all. Shocking for me. But what did I really do? Or maybe another way to say it is, what have I really done since Easter? What have you done since Easter? I mean, 2 weeks is a long time. 14 days, 24 hours a day. Many of you were in school for 10 days. Many of you were at work for 10 plus days. You've spent time with family. You've gone to the store. You've done whatever you needed to do for your hobbies. You've lived a lot of life, but what's different? How has Easter impacted your life? How has Easter changed your daily rhythm? How has the resurrection of Jesus shaped your every breath in a different way? Or maybe it hasn't. Maybe it hasn't. And if it hasn't, then we've got to ask some tough questions of ourselves. Again, I know it's a story many of us have heard many times. I know that we celebrate Easter annually, but it should still change our life. What am I getting at? We're going to look at how actions speak louder than words. We're going to look at how we take the resurrection and we act upon it. And we're going to begin this morning in Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 20. 1 through 20, where we're going to look at this guy named Saul. Saul, who was breathing out murderous threats against the Lord, against his disciples. Paul, who went out and figured out ways to take out Christians. Saul, who was this guy who had the right background, had the right upbringing, was the Jew among Jews, top dog. And all he wanted to do was wreck the kingdom of God. But something changed. Something changed. Acts chapter 9. There it is. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground. He heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting, he replied. Now get up, go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. And the Lord called him in a vision. Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a name for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done your holy people in Jerusalem, and he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see. He got up, he was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus, and at once he began to preach in the synagogues that God is the Son, that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the Word of God. It's a familiar passage where we talk about that conversion experience of Saul to Paul. Where again, Saul, really the one who was zealot against Christians, became Paul, the one who would be the very transformational voice to the Gentiles. And when we read that story, again, we focus on what's going on with Saul as he becomes Paul. But when we do that, I think we miss some things. And as we think about what Easter has or has not done for each of us, as we think about life filled with action rather than sitting on the spiritual couch, there are three things in this passage, three actions that I'd like us to think about. And it's not just about Paul. The first one is this: listening. Since Easter, how has your listening been? I mean, did you come to Easter and celebrate? We had breakfast. We enjoyed fellowship. We sang a lot. It was big. It was loud. It was fun. But that was 2 weeks ago. And I'm not listening anymore. You see, when you read the passage, you quickly see that not only Paul, but Ananias listened. Listen. Remember, here is Saul, the one who has persecuted the followers of Christ, the one who was headed to Damascus to take whatever prisoners he could. And yet on this road, suddenly, Paul hears a voice. Saul hears a voice. And he listens. why in the world would Saul listen? Take it a step further, when Saul says, who are you? And he says, I'm the Jesus, the one that you've been persecuting. Why would he listen? And yet, for some reason, Saul listens to the voice of God. Now again, we know that, and that story's there, and some people forget that a little later on, here's Ananias. And again, the voice of God comes to Ananias, and he says, listen, this guy Saul's coming to town. I need you to go meet him and take care of him. And Ananias says, are you nuts? He's been taking us prisoner. He's been getting us whacked. He's been getting rid of us left and right. I'm not going to go meet this guy. And yet the voice of God says, go. And Ananias listens. How about you and me? Since Easter, how have our listening skills been? Have we been listening about who God needs us to be? Have we been listening to the people that God puts into our lives? Have we been listening as to what God is saying and what God needs us to do? Have we been listening? Or, you know, it's done. It's over. I'm moving on. One thing I've learned in the last few years especially is the older you get, sometimes your hearing fails just a little bit. I find more and more it's easier for me to do this sometimes and listen, or to be in that right place, or to make sure I've got everything shut off so I can really hear what's going on. Listening can be a challenge. I'd read a story about a gentleman who's gone to the doctor, said, my hearing is horrible. The doctor looked at what was going on. He said, I think I can help you. He worked through some testing. He got the gentleman hearing aids. It really worked well. He improved his hearing. He came back for a checkup, and at the checkup, the doctor said, oh, how's it going? He goes, great. I can hear everything. He goes, boy, your family must really enjoy the fact that you can hear so well. And the gentleman looked at him and said, I haven't told him yet. He said, well, what do you mean you haven't told him yet? He says, oh. He says, I just sit there and I listen now, and I've changed my will 3 times. Listening, all right? Listening. On a real note, which, again, this came up in today's technology, you can adjust your hearing aids with a smartphone. And I've talked to several people who say, yeah, they go to family gatherings and they take their cell phone out and it looks like they're answering a text or something, and then they're just pushing the volume down on their hearing aid so they can't hear everybody around them. So, again, it's a choice to listen. And how is our listening? Because Paul and Ananias listened to what God had to say. But there's another thing, and that is going. Not only listening, but going. I mean, maybe we hear God, and maybe God says, I need you to do this. I need you to talk to this person. I need you to, and we go, yeah, but Lord, don't you know I'm busy? Oh, but Lord, don't you know I can't commit to that? Oh, Lord, don't you know that guy's not really a nice guy, just like Saul. And yet, the voice of God says, go. And Ananias went. The voice of God said to Paul, go to Damascus, look for this place. And he went. How are you doing in going, in being willing to go forward in your walk with the living God. We celebrate Easter, we celebrate the resurrection, we celebrate the life of Christ, and yet, what do we do about it? Shouldn't we be going where God wants us to go? Shouldn't we be being who God needs us to be? Again, that whole idea of not staying in one place, but going. If I have time, if I really want to just empty my mind, I like to turn the TV on. And one of the things I like to every now and then watch is The Amazing Grace. And I watch these people go. You do not see them say, oh, we got to go here, we got to get here. I'm going to sit here on a park bench for a while. They go. Then they're given a task to accomplish. You don't see them say, well, let's sit down and let's figure out the best way to tackle this task. They go. And sometimes in the midst of the game, one of their other players will U-turn them, in which case they've got to flip things around and do something different. They don't sit there and wonder about it. They go. Life is an amazing race. Whether you were Saul, or Ananias, what happened here was amazing. That God took a Jesus hater and turned him into a powerful leader. That God took Ananias and used him to begin this journey. They were willing to go. Are you willing to go on the adventure that God has planned for you? Again, I don't know what it is, but I can tell you that God has something in store for you, and that Easter is a great place to say, this is the benchmark. What does God want for me in the coming year? It's time for me to go. So we need to be listening people. We need to be going people. And we need to be transforming people. Transforming. Again, huge thing in our society. Great moneymaker for Hollywood. Transformers. The Transformer movies. The Transformer toys. This whole idea of this silly little car or truck, whatever it might be, transforming into this amazing robot and warrior. The same is true for us. Are we transforming? Or again, as I said it earlier, are you the same that you were 2 weeks ago at Easter? You see, when you look again at Paul, wow. You want to talk about transforming. I mean, here's somebody who, again, as I said earlier, classically trained, sat at the feet of some of the best teachers, was filled with knowledge and wisdom, was a Jew among Jews who believed, again, those traditions and thoughts, someone who led the way in persecuting those who followed Christ. And he was transformed. Transformed. Transformed, I think, when I read this, in less than 2 weeks. It says they were on their way to Damascus. It said this whole thing happened, and then they led him by hand. And then he was blind for 3 days. And after he regained his sight, he was with the disciples for several days. But at once, it says, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. What a radical transformation from someone who hated Christ followers to someone who is preaching about the love and the grace of Jesus Christ as a Son of God. You read this passage and you see that suddenly he's a man who is praying in this room, waiting for Ananias. He's a man that is filled with the Holy Spirit. He's a man that becomes a preacher in just a short time. He has been transformed. How have we changed since Easter? What has the voice of God said to us when we were listening? Where have we gone, or where do we need to go so that we might be transformed? And again, don't forget about Ananias. Again, a lot of people do. But you see this man who said, "But Lord, this Saul guy has been running around getting us all taken to prison." And yet, when he meets Paul, when he lays hands on Paul, he looks at him and he says, placing his hands on Saul, Ananias said, "Brother." In just a short time, Ananias was able to surrender himself to the will of God so that an enemy, someone who he feared, someone who he didn't trust, someone who he may very well have hated, he suddenly lays hands on and says, "Brother." Changed, transformed in this little encounter, Paul and Ananias transformed. How about you and me? Again, 2 weeks. Easter was great. Then Monday came. Then Tuesday came. Then we had another Sunday, and we came and we did this whole thing over again. And then Monday came, and Tuesday came, and now we're here again, and that's all? Actions speak louder than words. And we need to be people who are listening. We need to be people who are going. We need to be people who are transforming, just like Saul.